ಶ್ವೇತಾಶ್ವತರ ಉಪನಿಷತ್. ಓಂ ತ್ವಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ತ್ವಂ ಕುಮಾನಸಿ ಪುಮಾನಸಿ ತ್ವಂ ಕುಮಾರ ಉತವಾ ಕುಮಾರಿ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀರ್ಣೋ ದಂಡೇನ ವಂಚಸಿ ತ್ವಂ ಜಾತೋ ಭವಸಿ ವಿಶ್ವತೋ ಮುಖ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಓ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಯು ಅಪಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ವಿಮೆನ್, ಆಲ್ ಫೀಮೇಲ್ಸ್. ಯು ಅಲೋನ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಮೇಲ್ಸ್. ಯು ಅಲೋನ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ಬಾಯ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗರ್ಲ್ಸ್. And it is you again who appear as an old person, somehow trotting along with a dilapidated body with the help of a stick. You alone appear in all the faces. All faces are your faces. In all bodies you alone dwell. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning. Welcome. Today being a very special day, let us dwell for a few minutes on the importance of Mother's Day. In the Upanishads, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, we read an instruction from the teacher to the students that we should treat our mother as God. There is a set of four instructions there in a larger speech from the teacher to the graduating students in the Shikshavalli part of Taittiriya Upanishad. There it says, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ದೇವೋ ಭವ, ಅತಿಥಿ ದೇವೋ ಭವ. ಫೋರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಾತೃ ದೇವೋ ಭವ, ಬಿ ಒನ್ ಟು ಹೂಮ್ ಯುವರ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮದರ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಗಾಡ್. ಮೇ ಯುವರ್ ಮದರ್ ಬಿ ಯುವರ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ಯು. ದೆನ್ ಪಿತೃ ದೇವೋ ಭವ, ಟ್ರೀಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಆಸ್ ಯು ವುಡ್ ಟ್ರೀಟ್ ಗಾಡ್. He himself has come in the form of your father. Then, Acharya Deva Bhava, may your teacher be your God. The Lord himself comes in the form of your teacher. Then, Atithi Deva Bhava. Atithi means a guest who comes to your doorstep. May he be your God. He alone comes in the form of the guest. These are the instructions in the Upanishad, treating one's own mother as God herself. In the Chandi, also known as Devi Mahatmyam, of a part of the Markandeya Purana, also known as Durga Saptashati, which many people chant every day, and especially during Navaratri time when mother is being worshipped, there is a verse in the 11th chapter, verse number 6. There the Rishi, Markandeya Rishi, says, Vidya samasta stavade vibheda striya samasta sakala jagatsu tvayekaya puritamamba etat kate stuti stavya para paroktihi. O Divine Mother, all females, all women, all females are your own manifestations. You alone appear in the form of all women, all females. The whole world is enveloped by you, pervaded by you. How can we even begin to praise your infinite glories? That's the prayer, recognizing all women as the images of the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna gave this instruction on several occasions that we should treat all women as our mother. He himself took care of his mother in her last days. She came and stayed on the upper story, upper level of the Nahabad, and he took care of her. He not only took care of the mother, he treated his own wife, Sri Sarada Devi, as the Divine Mother. He literally worshipped her. We read this while reading about Sri Ramakrishna, that one day when the Holy Mother, Sri Sarada Devi, was rubbing oil on his legs, she asked him this question: how do you look upon me? And he said, pointing to the Kali temple which was to his right from the room where he was sitting, he says, the Divine Mother Kali, who is being worshipped in the temple, and my biological mother who gave me birth, who is residing in the Nahabad upstairs, and the one who is rubbing oil on my feet, they are all one and the same. All are the Divine Mother. Swami Vivekananda, when he was in the Thousand Island Park in the summer of 1895, he gave a series of classes to a small group of dedicated students. The class notes are recorded in inspired talks, which comes at the beginning of the seventh volume of the Complete Works of Swami Vivekananda, also published as a separate book, Inspired Talks. In the inspired talks, on July 2nd, 1895, Swamiji spoke about the Divine Mother and the importance of worshipping our mother as the Divine Mother. As you may have noticed, in the inspired talks, his class notes are arranged chronologically by date. So if you go and look under Tuesday, July 2, 1895, that day Swamiji happened to be talking about the worship of God as mother. And I'm going to read his notes, which he said on that day in this class. Shaktas worship the universal energy as mother, the sweetest name they know, for the mother is the highest ideal of womanhood in India. When God is worshipped as mother, as love, the Hindus call it the right-handed way, and it leads to spirituality but never to material prosperity. Mother is the first manifestation of power and is considered a higher idea than father. With the name of the mother comes the idea of Shakti, divine energy, and omnipotence. Just as the baby believes its mother to be all-powerful, able to do anything, the Divine Mother is the Kundalini, coiled-up power, sleeping in us. Without worshipping her, we can never know ourselves. All merciful, all powerful, omnipresent are attributes of the Divine Mother. She is the sum total of the energy in the universe. Every manifestation of power in the universe is Mother. She is life. She is intelligence. She is love. She is in the universe yet separate from it. She is a person and can be seen and known. Now, Sri Ramakrishna saw and knew her. Established in the idea of mother, we can do anything. She quickly answers prayer. She can show herself to us in any form at any moment. Divine Mother can have form, Rupa, and name, Nama, or name without form. And as we worship her in these various aspects, we can rise to pure being, having neither form nor name. The sum total of all the cells in an organism is one person. So each soul is like one cell, and the sum of them is God. And beyond that is the absolute. The sea calm is the absolute. The same sea in waves is Divine Mother. She is time, space, and causation. God is Mother and has two natures, the conditioned and the unconditioned. As the former, she is God, nature, and soul, man. As the latter, she is unknown and unknowable. Out of the unconditioned came the Trinity, God, nature, and soul, the triangle of existence. This is the Vishishtadvaitist idea. A bit of the mother, a drop was Krishna, another was Buddha, another was Christ. The worship of even one spark of mother in our earthly mother leads to greatness. Worship her if you want love and wisdom. That was Swamiji's message on the worship of our own mother as the Divine Mother. If you want wisdom, love, and success, spiritual progress. So I begin my humble presentation on our study of the traits, qualities of Sita Prajna, which we had started a couple of weeks ago, by offering my salutations to the Divine Mother in the form of all the mothers here and everywhere. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Matrirupena Samsthita Namastasyai 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 Namo Namaha. I repeatedly offer my salutations to the Divine Mother, who is present as the Mother in all the beings in this universe. Last time, we were discussing the topic of desire in the segment of the Bhagavad Gita beginning from verse 54 or 55 to at the end of the chapter, verse 72 in the second chapter. We find a number of qualities of a sthita prajna, a person of steady wisdom, whose awareness is firmly fixed on the Divine Self within. That was in response to Arjuna's question, what are the signs of a sthita prajna? A person whose awareness is firmly fixed in the Divine Presence within oneself and within everyone. Though many qualities are listed by Sri Krishna in this part of the Gita, in this part of the second chapter, two topics come up again and again. One of them is the quality of equanimity in pain and pleasure under all circumstances, in gain and loss, in pain and pleasure, in praise and blame, in success and failure. Under all circumstances, a Siddha Prajna remains perfectly unperturbed, perfectly calm. That is one topic that comes a few times. And the other topic that comes again and again is the topic of desire. Desire is something that limits us. A person, a Siddha Prajna, has no desire. Even if desires arise in his mind, he is not perturbed by them. At the end of the chapter gives this simile, just like an ocean remains unperturbed, even though many, many rivers coming from different directions empty their waters into the ocean remains unperturbed. In the same way, the mind of a sthita prajna, a person of steady wisdom, remains completely unperturbed, though many desires may arise in one's mind, in his mind. It was that topic that we were discussing last time, and that is the very first thing that Sri Krishna mentions when he begins his reply to Arjuna's question. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. When a person is able to conquer all the desires that arise in the mind and remains unperturbed and happy at the same time, atmanyevatmana tushtaha, that person derives his happiness, his joy, his bliss from the self within and not from any sense object or experience outside. As we see in many places in the Gita, everybody is always seeking happiness, not only human beings, animals too. And to in some rudimentary way, plants also seek some comfort. They seek sunlight. If you see some flowers, sunflower, it always faces the way, direction of the sun to capture warmth of the sunlight. People seek always happiness. We do various kinds of things to find happiness. Sometimes some of the things people do to find happiness may appear strange to some of us. They do opposite kinds of things to find happiness. But time and again, life experience tells us that it is not successful. Our effort to find happiness is not a success. We find happiness, it comes inseparably associated with some unhappiness from negative experience. But the sthita prajna is always happy, unconditionally happy. Whatever happens does not matter. Independently happy, does not depend upon anything or anybody or anything outside for his happiness. From where does he get his happiness? Sri Krishna says, Atmanye Atmana Tushtaha. Atman means self within. The same divine self is present in all. In the same way, across the whole of creation, there is no one or nothing in which he is not, the self is not. That is the only source of joy. That is the only source of happiness. Pure, unconditional, infinite, eternal joy or bliss comes only from the self, not from the sense objects outside, no matter what they promise. That is where he gets his happiness from. All these other objects of happiness, which we seek to find happiness, property, positions, fame, popularity, youth, beauty, sensory pleasures, food, dress, jewelry, car, all those things, other kinds of pleasures through which we try to find happiness, they are not able to give us happiness. In all of these sense objects, there is no intrinsic capacity to produce an iota of happiness. But they seem to give us happiness. That's why we seek. Millions of people seek happiness through all these things because some happiness seems to come from the sense objects. Whatever happiness comes from all these sense objects, from the relationships, from the love of a child, from the love of a spouse, from job, from success, whatever happiness comes from, whatever source, is all coming from the same one source, namely the self within. These are all merely very inefficient reflecting surfaces. Somehow reflecting a highly distorted and highly diminished version of the joy that comes from the self. A Shataprajna has the wisdom to bypass these undependable reflecting surfaces, sense objects, and go straight to the source of all joy, all bliss, eternal bliss, infinite bliss, unconditional bliss, the self within. That is why that person remains unperturbed no matter what happens, and is always independently, unconditionally, completely, totally happy, regardless of what happens. Youth, old age, beauty, sickness, poverty, infamy, praise or blame, nothing bothers that person. In spite of all these things, that person remains totally joyful, blissful, in a calm way, deriving joy from the self within. That is what Sri Krishna says in response to Arjuna's question in verse number 55, which is the first verse. Prajahoti yada kaman sarvan parthamanogatan atmanye vatmana tushtaha stita prajnastadochate. The last time we were discussing the topic of the origin of desire. Why do we have desire? We have desire for all kinds of things. Property, possessions, fame, popularity, physical comfort, all those things we want to have, relationships, satisfaction we want to have. When the desires come, we strive to fulfill them, and we know from experience that our effort to fulfill our desires and find happiness there for them is not always successful. So we caught in this cycle. When the desire comes, if you fulfill this desire, the desire does not go away. As we saw from Yayati's story last time. We fulfill the desire will come back with greater power, depending more next time. If we don't fulfill the desire, frustration comes, unhappiness comes, we'll be miserable. We have the desire, but we can't fulfill it. So when the desire arises in the mind, we are already in a no-win situation. Fulfill it, comes back with stronger demand. I want more. You want one scoop of ice cream today to make you happy. And tomorrow, one scoop will not start, you want two scoops. It keeps on, and you to get the same happiness. And then if you do that one, unfortunately, negative side effects will come. You become sick. Shankaracharya says, with great glee, we seek and enjoy physical pleasures, but next moment we find our body full of desires. Sukata kriyate rama bhoga paschadhanta sharire roga. I like to eat pizza and cheesecake and all those things, ice cream and everything. I enjoy. If I indulge in that, very soon you find very sick. And a time will come when I cannot even touch those things. Very same things which gave me pleasure at one time, they prove to be poison at other time. So that is not the way to fulfill desires. Yayati story, which we narrated last time from the Bhagavata, 11th canto of Bhagavata, also from Mahabharata, that graphically illustrated this. The way to find happiness is not to fulfill desires, because they will become strong and demand more, and there is no gain. And if you fulfill them, negative side effect will come, sickness will come, other problems will come. Yayati came to this conclusion after a long experience. As we recall the story, he was a king with all the resources for enjoyment that only a king can command. And he had promised his wife, Devayani, that he will not take a second wife. Those days, king could take more wives than one. But he had promised her that she will be my only wife and he will not take any second wife. But desire, He took a second wife, broke his promise. Wife became very angry. First wife became very angry. She complained to her father. Father was a great sage. The father cursed the son-in-law, may your youth be lost. So Yayati became a old man. Biologically, chronologically, he was young, but body became an old man because of the curse of his father-in-law. Could not enjoy anything more. All the resources were there, but he could not enjoy. He becomes unhappy. Then he goes back to his father-in-law, begs for forgiveness. Sir, I made a mistake. Please withdraw your curse. I want to become youthful again and enjoy. Father-in-law says it cannot be done. Once my word is spoken, it has to become true. But son-in-law begs for forgiveness. So father-in-law relents and he says, all right, find someone, a youth in your kingdom, a young man in your kingdom, who is willing to trade his youth with your old age, and I will do the ceremony and make it happen. Yayati tries to find one person in the whole kingdom, lot of subjects. He could not find even one person in his kingdom who wanted to exchange his youth with the king's old age. Everybody refused. Then he goes to his sons. He had four sons. First son, no. No, father, I want to keep my youth for myself. Yayati said, I'll give half the kingdom if somebody gives his youth. First son said, I don't want half, I will get the kingdom later anyhow when you die. I want to keep my own youth. Second son said the same thing. No, I want to keep my youth, sir. Third son said the same thing. You got into the problem, your problem. I want to enjoy my own youth. Fourth son agreed. Fourth son said to Yayati, father, if you wish as you want, I shall give my youth to you. I shall take upon myself your old age, and you can arrange for the ceremony. One person, namely one son, among all the subjects in his kingdom, was finally willing to exchange his youth with Yayati's old age. Ceremony was done. Yayati became a young man again, with all the royal resources to enjoy. Goes on enjoying pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. In course of time, he became old again. How long will youth last? Yavati kshayam yavvanam, Shankaracharya says. Youth will go away. It's fleeting. He became old again because of natural process of aging. Then, he being a thoughtful person, Yayati, he reflects on his own life. He says to himself, I have enjoyed so much pleasures in my long life, 1.5 lifetimes, youth. And still my desires have not become less there, as sharp, if not sharper, than they were at the onset of my first youth. Then he shares his insight with his wife, Devayani. He says to his wife, Najata kama kamanam upabhogena shamyate avisha krishna vartmeva bhuja eva abhivardhate. Being an insightful person, the king Yayati says to his wife, you see, by fulfilling one's desires, one cannot get rid of the desires. They will only become stronger. If there is a fire, and if you want to quench the fire, if you pour ghee on it, it will not become quenched, it will become a stronger fire. Fulfilling desires is like pouring ghee on fire. It becomes a stronger fire. Desire becomes stronger when you fulfill it. But if you suppress the desire, that will manifest in other problems. So when the desire comes, you are in a very difficult situation. You fulfill it one problem, don't fulfill it other problem. So last time we were discussing that, how to stop from desires arising in our minds. If desires don't come at all, then this problem is not there. Istha Prajna finds happiness in the self within, if we can do that, if we don't have to fulfill desires to find happiness, then we win. We don't have any problem that desire, fulfillment of desires brings. So how to become free from desires? In order to understand that, we have to understand the cause of desires, the source of desires. What causes desires to come in our minds? Why do we have any desire at all? We have to inquire into the cause of desire. And then second thing, we have to inquire about the source of desire. Cause is what causes desires to come. Source is where they come from. The source from where the desire comes. If we know those two things, then we can find a way to not have desires at all. No desire, total happiness. That's what Upanishad says. Upanishad says again and again, several times in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, akama hataha. The desire itself is an affliction. It's a disease, it's a shortcoming, it's a problem. Any desire, even the good desires, are a problem. Because desires indicate insufficiency, incompleteness. What is desire? Desire is a state of mind where one feels a sort of emptiness. Something is missing from my life. And if I get that something, whatever it is, I'll become happy. That state of mind is the desire. When a person has desire, there's always something lacking in that person. One person thinks, if I marry, I'll become happy. Because he is not married now, spouse is not there. If I marry, get a spouse, I'll be happy. Another person says, if I get a child, I'll be happy. He doesn't have a child now. That's a problem. It's a gap. Child will bring me happiness. If I get a child, I'll become happy. Child is missing. Spouse is not there. Some person doesn't have money. If I get more money, I'll be happy. If I get a promotion, I'll be happy. Brings more money. Like that. There's always something that is missing. And the contention is that if I supply the missing object, my life will become full, happy, and I'll be happy. That is desire. But when do we get, why don't we have the fullness? Upanishad says, our scripture says, you are that infinite self. Nothing is lacking in you. You are perfect. You are complete in itself as you are. Tattvamasi, you are that infinite self. So if I can only realize that, my complete, perfect nature, then there is no desire. I'm perfect. I'm complete. Nothing is lacking in me. I am that infinite self, eternal self. I am that Sachidananda. If I get that experience, there is no room for desire. If I am that, if I experience my fullness, my perfectness, my divine nature, my being the Sachidananda, if I experience that nature, that experience if I gain, there can be no desire. A total state of desirelessness will come only when you realize our divine self. Until then, some desire other will be there. Even if you get rid of a lot of other desires, the desire to become complete and perfect to realize will be there. That is also a desire. That means I am already not perfect already, incompleteness. The only way to remove, root and all, all the desires, no desire ever arises in my mind. Therefore, I have no problem of fulfilling, not fulfilling it, all those things, is when I realize my divine self. That is explained in the Mundaka Upanishad. There, the Rishi says, when you realize your divine self, reach the highest goal of realization, then and only then will you be free from all shortcomings, all desires, all other problems of life. All other problems of life. Until then, problems will prevail. This or the other. You'll become totally free from all problems, all suffering, all limitations. Only when and when and only when you realize your divine self become perfect and complete and realize. Until then, desires will be there. Desires cause unhappiness. Fulfill, become stronger. Don't fulfill, frustration, anger will come. So this verse is Vidyate hridaya granthihi chedyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. Tasmin drishte paravare, when that immanent and transcendent self is experienced, three things happen. First thing is Vidyate hridaya granthi, all the knots of the heart are cut asunder, not K-N-O-T knot, all the knots of the heart are cut asunder. What are the knots of the heart that limit us, that tie us, that bind us down? Desire, anger, lust, greed, jealousy, fear, pride, all these things are limitations which bind us, keep us firmly down at the human level, causing untold unhappiness, misery. All these things will go away completely, root and all, only when we see the transcendent self, realize our oneness with it. Vidyate hridaya granthihi. Second thing that happens when we reach the state of perfection, realization, is chidyante sarva samshayah. All doubts will completely go away. Until then, doubts will linger. No matter how much we study, no matter how much we think and reflect, still some desire, some doubt will be there. Total clarity will not come. All desires, all doubts will completely disappear. Total clarity will come only when we realize the self. Until then, mind becomes incomplete, imperfect. Questions will be there. And then third thing is, that happens is kshiyante chasya karmani. All bondages of karma will totally disappear. Prarabdha karma will be there, but it won't affect that person. Sanchita karma, accumulated karma will be wiped away. And future karma will not accrue. Totally free from karma. Karma means limitation. To understand this, we can look at it in another way. Why desire comes? Because we have a sense of incompleteness. I don't have something, I want to have it. If I have it, then I'll become happy. That is desire. A sense of incompleteness is there. That means I am not experiencing my total, perfect, complete, divine nature. I'm not experiencing it. That lack of experience of my divine nature is ignorance of my, the ignorance of my divine nature is called ajnana or ignorance. We are the divine reality right now, this moment. We don't have to become, we are that, but we are not aware of it. We are not aware of our true nature. We think we are the body and the mind, and I'm the president, I'm the wife, I'm the husband, I'm the child, I'm the president, I'm the treasurer, I am this, I am that, I am a man, I am a woman, I am a manager, I am sick, I am well. All this is what we are, but we don't have the experience of being the divine self. That is, ignorance of our divine nature is the cause of all imperfection, all desire. When desire comes, it propels us to action. Avidya or ajnana causes kama. Kama or desire. To do something or get rid of something, desire. When desire comes, we act. Desire propels us to action. I have to do something to fulfill the desire, to get rid of something that is bothering me, to gain something that promises happiness. Action is inevitable. When action we do, the result of action will bind us. Karma will inevitably bring karma phala. All actions will result in something good or bad. And the karma phala will bind us and the cycle continues. We get into this endless loop of ignorance, action, ignorance, desire, action, fruits of action, ignorance, desire, action. Vedanta shows an exit from that cycle. Vedanta shows an exit from that loop. Somehow realize your divine nature. Get rid of the ignorance that you are the body and the mind. Gain knowledge that you are the self. Then there is no incompleteness, there is no desire, there is no karma, there is no karma phala, and you are free forever. That's the Vedantic solution. But that is a long-term goal, lifelong effort. In the meantime, what we should do, since you have to deal with desires and problems that it brings, other problems that life brings, Sri Krishna says in the second verse, verse number 56, interim solution he gives. Pending that long-term goal of realization, totally becoming free from all desires, all in happiness, enjoying infinite eternal bliss, unconditional bliss. Pending that, how we should deal with the present situations in life. Present life is a mixture of good and bad. Everybody's life, no matter how powerful that person is, how strong that person is, how rich that person is, how knowledgeable that person is, there's always some problem. That's the nature of human life. In that situation, since you are in that situation, how are we to deal with it? The temporary solution, Sri Krishna suggests, pending realization, which is the final solution, is practice of equanimity. Good happens, bad happens. Some people praise, some people blame. Sickness comes, health comes. Poverty, wealth, whatever happens, we have to learn to remain unaffected by those vicissitudes of life. Practice equanimity, forbearance, titiksha. So we do verse number 56, where Sri Krishna encourages us to practice equanimity under all circumstances. The topic of equanimity comes many, many times in the Gita. Beginning from verse number 38 in second chapter, where Sri Krishna says, Sukha dukhe same kritva, labha labho jaya jayo. Sukha dukha, happiness and happiness are inevitable in everybody's life. Labha alabha, gain or loss are inevitable. Jaya ajaya, success and failure are inevitable. You win some, you lose some. When all these things happen, samyakritva, treating them alike, remaining calm, face all of them, you remain unperturbed. Swamiji said in the famous song of Sannyasin, heed then no more how body leaves or goes, its task is done, let karma float it down, let one put garlands on, another kick this frame, say not. No praise or blame can be. Where praise or praised and blame or blamed are one, thus be thou calm, sannyasin bold, say, Om Tat Sat Om. Practice of equanimity. This topic comes many times in the Gita. In the same second chapter, verse 48, Sri Krishna specifically says, when you do some work, you either failure, you succeed, usually a combination of success and failure. Some part of your work will succeed, some part of your work will fail. Or sometimes you may totally succeed, totally fail. Whatever happens in success and failure, you remain calm. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga ucchate 248. There Sri Krishna says in one phrase, equanimity is the essence of yoga. Samatvam yoga ucchate. Under all circumstances, that's something we have to practice. When we achieve perfection, then there is no question. There is no pleasure, blame, nothing bothers us. But since you are not there yet, since things bother us, we have no choice but to practice equanimity under all circumstances. We can do three things. We have to do three things when good things and bad things happen. especially bad things happen. When good things happen, you don't complain. Why am I so happy? Nobody asks. Why am I so unhappy? People ask. So when those things, undesirable things happen, we can do three things. First thing is, we have to take preventive measures to prevent such happening of unhappy events. Preventive measures we have to take as much as possible. We can't prevent everything. No matter how many insurance policies you buy, no matter how much you take care of your health, good food, sleep, and exercise, and organic food, and all those things, still people become sick. Old age will come, sickness will come. But we have to try to do prevent as much as possible. Taking all possible preventive measures, but that does not guarantee the absence of problem. Problems will come. When problems do come, after taking all possible preventive measures, we have to take remedial measures. Whatever is possible to remedy the situation, that we have to do as much as possible. We find that no matter how many medicines we take, how many specialists we consult, how many stocks we invest in, whatever we do, still we encounter failure and unhappiness. Remedial measures also will not completely remedy all these situations. Partial remedy may come. New problem may come. Preventive measures, remedial measures. Then still problems remain. Whatever problem remains that cannot be cured has to be endured. What you cannot cure, you have to endure. That discipline is called titiksha. Calmly, without complaining, without lamenting, whatever problem comes, cannot be prevented, cannot be remedied, I'm going to bear it calmly. That discipline is called titiksha. Shankaracharya talks about titiksha and the Viveka Chudamani, which many of you are studying with Swamiji, Atmagyananji, on Wednesday night. There Shankara says, how to practice forbearance. Forbearance, Sahishnuta, fortitude, is this way. Sahanam sarvadukkhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam sahatitiksha nigadhyate nigadhyate. Sarvadukkhanam sahanam. All dukkha means unhappiness. Various kinds of unhappiness will come in our lives. Health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, children problem, wife problem, husband problem, parent problem, job problem, you name it, we have them. When all these problems come, or any of these problems come, then after exhausting preventive and remedial measures, whatever remains unsolved, that we have to bear calmly, sahanam, bearing, forbearing. Sarvadukkhanam sahanam. How? Apratikara purvakam. No sense of revenge. Revenge is very bad. We are only complicating the situation infinitely if we resort to revenge. No problem comes. No problem comes to us except as we have courted the way for it ourselves. This is not what I am saying. This is what Swamiji has said. Swami Vivekananda has said. Swamiji has said, no problem will come to any human being except as one has courted it or paved the way for it himself. There's always an antecedent for our problem. We may not know it, we may not be able to trace it, but there's always a cause. Unless you have caused it, nothing happens. As we saw last time, we are the architects of our life. This is what our scriptures have been saying from Upanishad onwards. We build our life. What we are today, this moment, is what we have made ourselves to be. This personality, whatever you are seeing in front of you, happier, unhappier, sicker, wealth, richer, poor, whatever I am this moment, what is this? This personality is nothing but an edifice that I have myself sculpted impression by impression, thought by thought, deed by deed. What I am this moment is what I have made myself. So is everyone. Therefore, no use complaining when problems come. So, apritikara purvakam. There is this idea that we make our lives, we are the architects of our destiny, is an age-old idea in the Upanishads, in the Bhagavad Gita, in other books. Some time ago, many of you studied the book Ashtavakra Samhita with Swami Atmajnananjan Wednesday nights. This Ashtavakra Samhita is a great book. It has 20 chapters, 298 verses. And it is a conversation between two Brahmajnanis. One was Ashtavakra, a great sage, knower of the self. The other one was Janaka, another Brahmajnani, knower of this. They were talking among themselves. And in the very first chapter, Ashtavakra begins his conversation by saying, in verse number 11, easy to remember, chapter 1, verse number 11, 111. You can go back and study in your book. There Ashtavakra says, whatever a person thinks that he will become, whatever a person is what he has thought about, he has built his own personality impression by impression. Everything I say, everything I think, everything I do leaves an impression in my mind. And the sum total of all these impressions is what I am today, this moment. And the good news is, by changing my actions, my thoughts, my speech, this moment, I can build my future the way I want. It's in my hands. Verse number 11, chapter 1, Ashtavakra Samhita, Ashtavakra says, Baddhabhimani baddhopi mukta mukta bhimanyapi. Kim madanti hasatyeyam yamati sagatir bhavet. Just remember this phrase, yamati sagati. As our thought, so is our destination. Gati means destination, mati means thought, mind or thought. Yamati sagati, that is the truth. Therefore, when difficulties come, we have to practice equanimity, not blaming other people, though it may appear to come from other people, problems appear to come from other people, their sources, they are only the delivery instruments. They are not the cause of the problem. They are not the source of the problem. They are the delivery instruments. If some problem comes through somebody, that person is not causing it. He is only playing the part of being the instrument through which my bad karma has to come back to me. No use blaming the messenger if the message is bad. Supposing you turn on the faucet in the kitchen, dirty water comes from the faucet sometimes. Then if you become angry and break the faucet, will the problem be solved? Will the water become pure? No. You have to inquire from where the water is coming. It's only a delivery instrument. It's not an outlet. Water is coming from somewhere. You go to the source of the water, water tank or wherever. Clean it up and the same faucet will give pure water. Our karma balance tank is there in our hearts, in our subconscious mind. All the karma that have done, good and bad, they're all stored in the tank there. And that result of that karma, bad karma, good karma, done in the past and we are doing now, will come back to me either directly or through some other source. That other source can be a person, a problem, or an animal, or a situation in the office or family or wherever. That's only the delivery instrument. Is my own karma is coming back to me. Some time ago, I mentioned a book written by Paul Wiesen, PhD. And the title of the book is Thank You for Being Such a Pain. Remember? Thank You for Being Such a Pain. That's the title of the book. There is explained these things. When somebody causes problem, most of the time he's not the cause, he's the delivery instrument. Be thankful that he is serving this purpose, helping you to work out your bad karma. He is doing that unpleasant task in his life of helping me to work out my bad karma. Kabir says the same thing. When somebody blames you, criticizes you, don't blame that person. Don't shun that person. Welcome him into your life. They are playing a very important part in our life. The people who create trouble for us, they are playing a very important part in our life. They're helping us to work out our bad karma. How? Bina sabuna pani bina nirmala karai. Without soap and water, they take out the cleaners. They free you from all bad karma, by being nasty towards us. Therefore, they are not to be blamed. They are not the cause. They are the delivery instruments. Titiksha, this helps us to practice forbearance when problems come from other people. So in the verse 56, second verse, Sri Krishna says, Dukhesu nudvigna manoha, sukhesu vigatas praha, vitaraga bhaya krodhastita dhir muni ruchyate. Dukhesu anudvigna manaha. Dukkha means unhappiness, any kind of problem. Numerous kinds of problems will afflict us in our lives. No matter what the kind of problem is, dukhesu anudvigna manaha. Udvega means disturbance of the mind. We should remain as unperturbed as possible. If you become easily perturbed, angry, depressed, then our creativity to solve the problem will be greatly hampered. If you remain calm, something can be done to solve the problem, to face the problem. We should remain calm. Dukkeshu anudvignamanah. In adversity, in suffering, in unhappiness, we should remain calm as possible. Sukheshu, when happiness comes, we should not become greedy and pride, arrogant. I'm so happy, I'm the greatest, I'm the biggest, I have more money, I have more knowledge. That also won't help. Remain calm in good times also. Good times or bad times, you remain calm. Sukhesu vigatas prahaha. There is no need for undue exaltation when you succeed in something. Then third thing is, vita raga bhaya krodaha. Raga bhaya krodha. Three things afflict us. Raga means attachment. Later on, Sri Krishna, in the same chapter, verses number 60 to 63, will again come back to the topic of desire, attachment, etc. in much more detail. Sri Krishna is a great, wonderful psychologist. In a few words, he has captured the psychology of desire, consequences, happiness, unhappiness, very effectively, succinctly, only in two verses, 62-63. We'll come to them later, next time or the time after. Here Sri Krishna says, free from attachment, fear and anger. Raga bhaya krodha. We easily become attached to things. Attachment is what causes problem. Attachment causes desire. Desire means it propels us to action. Action brings fruits of action, good or bad, then the cycle continues. The attachment is the root cause of all desires. Attachment turns into desire, transforms itself into desire. Raga, attachment. Why become attached? Because the same incompleteness. You see a $15,000 mink coat, or a Rolex watch in the window shop, you are on the other side of the window, on the street side of the window, the object is on the other side of the window, and you have a desire, oh, I should have that coat, I should find wear that Rolex watch. Unhappiness, because emptiness, I don't have it, it is there, if I have it, I'll be happy. Become attached to it. Raga. That attachment is what causes the desire. If I have full experience of fullness, perfectness, perfection, completeness and perfection, then Rolex watch does not attract me. I'm already much happier than happiness Rolex watch can bring me. If I'm already perfect, nothing is lacking in me. If I'm that Sachidananda, no other outside object can make me happier. There's nothing it can add to infinity. I'm infinitely happy. Infinity cannot be increased, no matter how much you add to it. There's nothing more that can make me happier than what I am already am. That is perfectness. That is completeness. If you reach that stage, no attachment, no desire, no problem. Bhayam. We'll explore that next time because we are running out of time. Bhayam means fear. In the Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the topic of fear has been addressed. There the Rishi asks the question, why fear comes? Why are you afraid? I'm always afraid of something else or somebody else. Fear comes from outside source. The moment I sense the presence of something other than myself, then that could be a cause of fear. Very, very famous phrase in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. From where fear comes? From the second. Fear comes from the second, it says. Dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. Dvitiya means second, other than the self. Dvitiya, from anything other than the self, if you perceive, then there's a possibility that we may anticipate some danger, loss or pain from that other object. Maybe a person, maybe a situation, maybe an animal, maybe something else. From that other, there's always possibility of danger, loss or pain. That is fear. Next time when we get the opportunity, we shall explore more in more detail how these three afflictions, raga, bhaya, krodha, these are three afflictions, attachment, fear and anger. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 21, Sri Krishna says, there is a verse like this. We'll conclude with that one. There Sri Krishna says, 16:21, Sri Krishna says, there are three gateways to hell, place of suffering, three gateways leading us to suffering. Trividam narakas yedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Narakasya trividam dwaram. Naraka means place of suffering. Three great open gateways lead us to suffering. What are they? Kamaha, krodaha, tatha lobaha, desire, anger and greed. Kama, krodha, lobha, desire, anger, greed. These are the three gateways. Therefore, what we should do? Tasmade tattayam trajet, yajet. Therefore, give up all these three. The Siddha Prajna is the one who has given up all these three. Vitaraga bhaya krodaha. We'll explore this topic in greater detail next time. Now let us spend a few minutes in silent reflection.